That you were able to come. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is where our scripture reading was this morning. As you're turning there, I wonder how many of your hearts this morning, obviously it's a special day, and we often, and we should, set aside this day in honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But really, every Sunday, we celebrate this. In the fact of we are thankful that Jesus has been risen from the dead and he has given you life and he's given it to you powerfully and with a purpose. And you have this morning inside of you, if you are here with Jesus Christ, you've bowed your knee to him, you've submitted to him, you've repented of your sins, you've asked him to be the Lord of your life and to save you, you have inside of you something that is intrinsically valuable that is designed by God to be used for his glory and the church's benefit. And really this morning we're going to be looking at several aspects of this idea that because Christ is risen, we have a rich gospel, a purposeful mission, and a lively hope. Okay? Because Christ is risen, we have a rich gospel, a purposeful mission, and a lively hope. In the background of this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth while he is in Ephesus. He is sending a letter back to them to help them as a local body of believers to be able to defend their faith, especially when it comes to this idea of Jesus being raised from the dead. They were surrounded by a thought process in a culture that was completely anti-God in Corinth, completely influenced by a Greek culture that wanted nothing to do with God at all. On top of that, they had a view of life that was pretty stoic in nature. It was basically, today I live, for tomorrow I die. Right? That's the way they live. That's the way their soldiers live their lives. If you go back in Greek culture in that area of the world, the original Spartans and those individuals, they lived knowing that they were going to die valiantly serving their nation. And if they died by the sword, they would be given an opportunity to go to their place of future heaven, or whatever they called, or their body would just die altogether. And nothing else would happen to their soul. It was basically a stoic kind of belief that your body is your life and there's nothing else afterwards, really. And so the Apostle Paul is combating that theology or their understanding of that bad theology about how the body has been created by God to be a housing for the soul. Your soul has a purpose on this earth. Your body sustains the spiritual soul that's inside of you and that gives you your personality and gives you your traits and things that you are going to become as a person. But ultimately, when we die, we are going to go somewhere. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. Those are our two locations of opportunity. One is a really good opportunity, the other one's really bad. Okay? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I dare say you want to this morning because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. It could be during this service, it could be after, it could be this week, it could be in the future months and years. We don't know. So this morning, as you're listening to the truth of God's word, I would just ask you that you humbly ask in your own heart, Lord, search me, know me, try my heart, and allow my heart to be receptive of your truth so that I can hear, I can not only hear, but I can be a listener and an active doer of your word. Whether you're saved here this morning, that's what you want to be as an effective doer of the word, or you're unsaved, we'd invite you to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. because Christ is risen, we do have this rich gospel. Let's get into our text here this morning as we read, beginning back in verse 12. I know we read it together, but I want to reset the stage here for us as we move forward. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, he's asking this question because these Christians in this church at Corinth have been influenced by this Greek culture that has said, once I die, there's no more. The body just stays dead. There's no resurrection coming in the future. So he's trying to combat this ideology that has been taught to them that they have heard because they're living in this culture of ungodly wisdom. And so he's giving them a question to ask. If Jesus is not raised, right, then how in the world do some among you say that there's no resurrection if we are preaching him that he is raised? Okay? If you truly believe that you are a Christian, then you must believe that Jesus was raised from the dead because you have no life otherwise. Okay? The salvation of God didn't end at the cross. It continued in his resurrection because without the resurrection, there is no salvation. He didn't defeat death if he didn't raise. And literally, this service this morning would mean nothing if Jesus had not raised from the dead. In fact, any of our worship services would mean nothing. Our entire, you can't call it a religion because it's not. It's a relationship with Jesus. Our entire relationship means nothing if he has not been raised. The resurrection, as a result, though, in point number one this morning, as we continue, is giving us a rich gospel to share with others. Okay? The resurrection gives us a rich gospel to share with others. Now, I simplified. Last time I was here, my PowerPoint was a little bit too much. All right, so we simplified some things for us this morning. So if you're taking notes, and you can add whatever you want to your own personal notes, but these are just some basic individual points as we move along. With no resurrection, in verses 12 through 19, Paul explains that we have no gospel. He goes on in verse 13, he said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. And yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he has been raised up. So everything that we do, every aspect of our being as a believer in Christ is vain, is essentially what verses 12 through 19 are saying. Our preaching is worth nothing. Christ is still in the tomb and dead, which we know to be not true, right? Because the physical evidence even produces that evidence. There's no skeleton in Joseph of Arimathea's grave there of Jesus. It's completely empty, okay? Even those that believe that Christ is raised from the dead, they still put most of their emphasis on relics that they have. I've seen several videos this week, I'm sure many of you have, of, you know, these guys talking about the shroud that covered, you know, Jesus' body and his image being burnt into the shroud, and they're trying to identify whether or not it's truly him that's in it. The shroud means nothing really to me personally. It's great if it is true and they do have it, but my hope is not in a shroud. My hope is in the person of Jesus Christ who is raised from the dead, who's sitting at the right hand of the Father this morning, interceding for you on your behalf. And as a result, you are growing. You're changing. You're becoming more like him. If you can't even sense that in your own heart this morning, that you have made change, how many of you have even sensed in the last month that Jesus has been doing work in your heart and changing you as a believer, right? You sense the Spirit moving in you. That's evidence of his resurrection, right? Otherwise, we have nothing. It's a humanistic religion. It's working for ourselves and not for Christ, okay? There is no religion on the planet that can save. No man that can save. No denomination that can save. Okay? No pope that can save. I love all people of this world, but there's one way, one truth, and one life. And that's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's trying to get these early church Christians, and granted, we're living in kind of some similar cultures because we're being bombarded from all different aspects of different denominations, people that are saying, well, I don't quite believe this anymore. This certainly can't be true. We're 1,993 years removed as of Friday from Jesus' death on the cross. Do you realize that? April 3rd, AD 33. Okay? We know that he died. We know that he was buried. We know he was scourged and beaten, right? On our behalf. We know that he took on all of the sins of the entire world on my behalf and on your behalf. And we trust and we, by faith, agree with the scriptures, because the scriptures are an infallible testament to the truth of what God has given. It's a complete revelation. We don't need to add to it or subtract from it. We have the word of God. And as a result, you have a confidence because of that resurrection power to go on into our actual gospel and rich gospel to share. This is point number two this morning. Even though the gospel is rich to share with others, the resurrection, we have a purposeful mission to share. Okay? A purposeful mission. It should say that. I had changed it, but maybe it didn't save. Okay? I apologize for that. The second point is, with resurrection, we have a purposeful mission with all who will hear. In verses 20 to 22, let's read there together, if we should, please. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, okay, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Well, there's a doctrinal piece nugget for you, right? Is Jesus fully man and fully God? Yes. Okay? By sin, by man, sin entered. Who was that? Adam. Okay? Jesus, a man, by his death, sin is eradicated, or its power to damn the soul that does accept him, that power is no longer able to keep that person from going to heaven because of his death. He took on all of those sins on my behalf in the man, in the personal flesh, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made what? Alive. Alive. The power in that word, alive, is unique. Okay? You must think for just a moment, and I've seen a lot of things over the years where people talk about having out-of-body experiences, or they've seen somebody or a ghost walking around or raised from the dead and in their dreams, or Jesus talked to them in that way. And you begin to think, okay, if that's true, then if Jesus himself, okay, cannot be raised from the dead, because if that's the case, there is no life in that individual. We do not see these dreams. But now Christ is risen from the dead. He becomes the first fruits, those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came into resurrection. I apologize for fumbling my words there for just a moment. Our preaching is powerful because of this purposeful mission, backed by God himself. Our faith is pure and vibrant, fueled by the Holy Spirit of God. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, reigning as King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is not sitting in the grave.
He is actively involved in the process of making sure you as a believer are growing and changing. He's actively, progressively making you different. And as a result, he's giving you a powerful purpose because of his powerful resurrection. He has made you alive. He has taken you from death unto life. Yeah, it would be great to see some of our relatives come back, but I'll be honest with you, they don't want to. Right? That day's coming where they're going to get their own fresh new bodies. And I wouldn't, as much as I love my parents, I don't want them to come back and not enjoy heaven at this point. And I don't think any of us should either. That's a rejoicing time for them. But in your soul, for those of us who are living, he has given you an organic energizer bunny, okay, so to speak, inside of you that keeps going and going. You know that commercial, right? With the bunny drumming, you know, with the energizer batteries. Maybe that's old. Maybe you haven't seen that for a while. I don't know. But Jesus has given you a life that you must honor him with. Being alive and not dead means that you have a mission that's been given to you. You have breath. And as long as you have breath, what are we to do? Praise the Lord. How do we praise the Lord? We praise him with our lips, yes, but we also praise him with our actions in the mission that he's been given to us to give the gospel. This morning, if you are here and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you have and should have a desire inside of your heart as a result of the resurrection to now go tell others the same thing. Even if it's just one in your lifetime, go do it. Right? Replicate. That's what we're trying to accomplish here at Foster Creek Baptist Church and getting this culture set because of his resurrection. It's powerful. God is the only person who's ever been able to raise anyone from the dead. He did it with Lazarus, right? He did it with himself after Lazarus. And since then, nobody else has been raised from the dead. Think about that. Our technological world wants to try to make ways to clone people, cryogenically freeze people, and bring them back to life. I've heard of that Stalin is cryogenically frozen over in that area of the world, right? Hoping that he was going to be brought back. The only place he's going to be brought, to my knowledge, unless he came to a saving knowledge of Christ, is hell. Permanently. Jesus is the only one that can raise you up. He's the only one that has given anyone life at any time. And he's given it to you for the purposeful mission for all of us to partake in as believers. Third, the resurrection gives us a lively hope. First of all, it says we will all be changed and give a glorious new body. Turn to verse 51. We did not read this in our scripture reading, but it is towards the end of the chapter. The section in between verses 38 and 51, Paul is giving them a challenge in this idea of the theology of not being raised from the dead and then what a believer should look like. But I skipped over that point into this because the lively hope portion is really what we're all looking for as well as believers. Verse 51 reads this. Just begin in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right? Are you looking forward to that day? Yeah. I keep hearing, like, trumpet, you know, sounds here and there, but they're horns on people's cars, you know. I'm waiting. I'm listening, trying to figure out, is Jesus coming? But in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, okay, Jesus will sound and he'll take us home, right? We're looking forward to that rapture day where we'll be raptured out unto glory. And then, yes, the tribulation will be here, but we're also looking forward to this future, eternal, living hope that is coming. We're going to be changed. The dead in Christ will be raised first, okay? All of our loved ones are going to get to go right before us. I can imagine what it's going to be like on that day, right? Imagine, like, I don't know if, you know, their bodies are just literally going to break forth out of the ground and out of the vaults that everybody's been put in over the centuries of time, or their wooden or marble caskets, hoping that these bodies are going to stay there, right? They're not. They're going to be raised, and they're going to be given newness of life in a physical way that they had never had before. Our new bodies confirm in verse 55 that Christ's death swallowed and eradicated earthly death. Look at verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or hell, where is your victory? There is none. Jesus has the victory. He has won. The battle's already been won. It's our job as believers to take the power of the mission and to complete the mission while we're here, to look unto this lively hope that is coming. And the fourth aspect here is the power of the resurrection gives us a daily hope to preserve in the faith and know that it is not in vain. Remember back in verses 12 through 19, he says, if Jesus had not been risen, everything that we do is vain. But we know, because he has been given life through his own personal power, he's raised again, he's given us this hope, and this resurrection power gives us a hope to persevere. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it never will be. Okay? Until Jesus comes, we ask you to tarry. Keep going. Keep moving. You've been given a life that has meaning. And if you don't know him as Savior this morning, you can before you leave. And during our invitation time here this morning, we're going to ask you to come and accept Jesus as Savior. You can do it in your seat. You can do it in your car. You can do it here. There's no coming forward doesn't save you. Your personal commitment to Jesus Christ in your heart and repentance of your sin and faith in Jesus is what saves you, because he has the power alone to do that. To give you a mission that will never be in vain. And nothing that we do on this earth will not glorify God unless we're in sin. Right? We've been given that great mission. We've been given great power because of this resurrection. This morning, as we close our time together, I wonder if, as a believer here this morning, if you know him, have you considered this morning how you can honor Jesus because he's made you alive? What can you do starting right after the service to give him glory? The best thing that I know right off the bat is go tell someone about him. Put yourself in the way of somebody who knows not Jesus. Love them. Put your arms around them. Lots of hurting people in this world, isn't there? We see it every day. Even those that are in harm's way right now, fighting on our behalf, many of them do not know Christ. Right? I wonder this morning if you've prayed that God could put somebody in your path, even today, that you could give truth to. Or pray that God brings you into their path as well. And be ready to be purposeful with the mission that God has made you alive. If you don't know him as Savior this morning, we invite you, come, bow your knee before him. Jesus is calling you today to bring your soul, your weary soul. Stop fighting, stop striving. You want peace? Come to Jesus, because he's given you a life. Okay, that life is meant for his purpose and for his glory. Let's close in prayer, and then we've got a closing hymn that we're going to stand and sing together, shall we? Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for the blessing and truth of your word. Lord, the message this morning was not exhaustively deep in any way, because it doesn't need to be. Your truth is clear. It's simple. Your power is seen all over the resurrection. And we thank you that as a result, you've given us true life in your Son. Lord, I thank you for bringing him to die. But more importantly, I thank you for raising him up and bringing him to that life that he might have eradicated death on our behalf. We ask now as we go and spend time with our families, may we not forget the importance of this day, but may we also stay on mission to see others come to know Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.